This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Welcome, welcome everybody. It's Voice of Change time with myself, Lauren Jacobs, on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday afternoon, getting into the evening, getting cold. Can you feel how, you know, winter is absolutely around the corner? And it's, you know what, such a nice, nice time to just snuggle up and to get warm under those blankets, or, you know, by that fire, by that nice warm fireplace, if you happen to have one. And you know what, I just hope that you've been having a wonderful, wonderful day. I hope that it's been such a blessed week. It was so wonderful to be, you know, spending time with the listeners last week when we were doing Visiathon. I got to spend 3 days with all of you, and it was so wonderful just to be connecting and to be seeing all the beautiful, you know, messages coming through, testimonies. Thank you so much to those who were pledging, those who were giving. You know, it's just such a blessing to see this outpouring of love and just this outpouring of support. And speaking of love and support, you know, here on Voice of Change today, it's all about, you know, being the change, making the change, and amplifying change. And it is really about, you know, amplifying love and how we are connected as human beings, and how we can support one another and see one another in difficult times and be there for one another. And that's really what, you know, the heart is of the show today, because I'm going to be joined by two incredible individuals who are working right now on the front lines of the situation that we are seeing in Eastern Congo, you know, right where the volcano erupted on the 22nd of May, while, you know, people were sleeping, people were at home, people were with their families, people were, yes, snuggled up watching TV or, you know, just having a cup of coffee, when all of a sudden the volcano in Goma erupted and lava was spewed out onto the streets and everything changed. Now, we know that Congo has such a big problem with internally displaced people. In fact, I was on a conference just 2 weeks ago where the new stats for, you know, internally displaced people were being revealed for, you know, 2020. And Congo was right up there at number one with such a huge amount of internally displaced people. And now this is the reality of what's happening now with volcano having erupted. We know, and we see refugees, we see so many people that have lost their homes. We see a situation that is quite serious. So today on the show, I'm welcoming Pappy Orion and Fabrice. And they're going to be talking to us about what is happening. Now, Fabrice was right there. He's in Goma as we speak. He is helping on the front lines, you know, helping with so many things that he's going to be sharing with you tonight. But also, he was right there when that volcano went off. A lot of the pictures that he's taken have been shared thousands of times across social media. And so he's going to be with us. He is going to be speaking to us in French, but don't worry, Papi is going to be translating everything. And you're going to want to stick around to hear what these two incredible guys have to share with us today, because, you know what, we need to know what is happening. There isn't that much media voice on what the people are facing in Congo, and literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of earthquakes and tremors are taking place almost every single hour in Congo right now. It's not over. It's not over for the people. And so let's join together. Let's hear what they have to say. And you know what? Let's open up our hearts and just hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us today. Because I really, really feel, as I approach this and as we get into this conversation, I really, really, really feel that this is something to really pray about. So don't go anywhere. You know, Pappy and Fabrice are with me after this. Pappy and Fabrice, it's so good to have you both with me today. I'm so grateful to be having this conversation about what has been happening in Congo. And just for the listeners today, Fabrice is joining us, and he was right there when the volcano went off, and he is busy, so busy on the ground helping. But we're going to do a little bit of a translation. So for those who speak French, you'll be able to follow. But for my listeners who are English or Afrikaans speaking, don't worry, because Pappy is going to be translating everything for us. At the beginning of the show, we really wanted to get Fabrice on and just be sharing about what he really saw and what he went through. And so Fabrice and Pappy, I'm going to put it right out there. you know, Fabrice, we want to know exactly what was happening on the day, what happened with the volcano, what was the experience, you know, what happened with the people. Could you just share your story with us?
Oui, premièrement, je devrais dire que personne ne s'attendait pas à ce que les volcans puissent couler. Donc, il y a un petit temps, des médias internationaux parlaient déjà du volcan et ils disaient que voilà, ça menaçait tout le temps et à tout moment. Mais ce qui n'était pas bon, c'est parce que nos autorités n'ont pas pris cette alerte au sérieux. Donc, c'est un peu plus difficile pour nous. Et parce qu'on se disait qu'après un temps où les volcans ça a pu faire éruption, il y a à peu près dans 19 ans, donc on s'attendait toujours que ça puisse venir, mais malheureusement personne ne s'attendait pas et voilà, donc c'était un peu ça. Je pense que c'est un peu plus difficile pour nous parce que ça s'est venu à un moment où nous-mêmes on ne croyait pas. Il se peut que le volcan avait commencé bien avant, sans que tout le monde ne le sache. Et c'était tout un samedi comme le week-end comme tout autre. Et voilà, on a terminé juste la journée et le soir, on remarque que voilà, dans le ciel, ça change de couleur et qu'il y a des couleurs presque rouges dans le ciel. Donc, on ne comprenait pas. À un certain moment, on pensait que ce sont des maisons qui étaient calcinées juste à côté, mais quand on a vu clairement que c'était pas de maison, mais que c'était le volcan qui venait. Un volcan qui avait commencé très tôt dans la journée, sans que personne ne s'en rende même compte. Même les autorités, même l'observateur qui est censé surveiller les volcans, observer tout mouvement. Ce que nous déplorons de notre côté, c'est parce que cette même observatoire était confronté à des problèmes, voilà, à des problèmes que nous-mêmes, nous ne savons pas c'est quel genre de problème. Soi-disant que les financements n'étaient pas assez suffisants pour continuer à surveiller les volcans. Et voilà, comme les experts et comme la population et les autorités, tout le monde a été choqué de voir les volcans.
It was a certain evening. Nobody knew what was happening. We know that people, the international media, have talked about volcano, and they have talked that something was going to happen, something was going to happen, so was going to erupt, but we didn't know exactly when that was going to happen. Also, the government never warned us and tell us that, okay, this is going to happen at a certain day. And so that brought a big problem because I feel like our government really doesn't really care, and really didn't put enough efforts on finding out what exactly was going to happen. So the thing is, that evening we saw something happening outside. We saw something like a fire. So we thought at the beginning that it was just a house that was burning, and after a few seconds we realized it was the volcano, and so and that kind of surprised us a lot because nobody knew exactly that it was going to happen at that particular time. Even the organization which is in charge of observing the volcano, they don't have enough means to kind of detect what is happening. The government, the organization said that they don't have enough finances to be able to control everything that is happening. But yeah, that is briefly what has happened.
Well, this is quite intense. So it was as though, you know, I mean, no one knew what was going to be happening. And then all of a sudden, this volcano erupted. We know it erupted back in 2002, but now we have the volcano has erupted and we have earthquakes that are taking place. How is that on the ground, Pappy? You know, how does Fabrice feel about that? And how is that for people? You know, right now, I've been reading as well that there have literally been hundreds of small tremors and earthquakes that have been taking place. you know, houses have been falling in. You know, what is, how is that experience for people that are actually living right in this crazy, crazy, chaotic time?
Lauren, thank you again. Yeah, this is actually very devastating what has happened. You know, the population after this volcano that took place on the 22nd, the evening of Saturday, May 22nd, people rushed and they started the flee from the city, the outskirts of Goma. Around 22,000 went to a town called Sake, which is around 6-7 kilometers from Goma, and other 5,000 people flee to Rwanda. But the next morning, people started coming. And as the people got back to their homes, they realized that the houses had been covered by lava. And and it was a very devastating situation for these families that, you know, were not warned that something was going to happen. All they had to run out with was maybe a little bit. But all these houses were covered by lava with nothing taken out of it. And then even to the shock, the next day, the earthquake also started, and there were cracks around the whole city of Goma. And in the main city of Goma, there were houses falling. Right now, as we speak, there have been about 400 earthquakes that are taking place in the city of Goma. The authorities and the NGOs, they're fearing that there could be a next eruption, or detecting some stuff under Goma, and this could go until Lake Kivu. And if it goes that will really be very catastrophic, because it will affect the gas inside the Lake Kivu, and this could cause massive problem for the city of Goma. And so on Thursday, in fact, the city was the government arranged a massive evacuation of the places that were affected by this situation, the cracks and where they detected lava. And but the government didn't really provide any kind of ways for the population to escape. So they just say, you guys, you need to evacuate, and that's it. And so this brought a huge chaos in the city. People were going to the ports. They were going by road. They were going others by foot. And at the moment as we speak, I think 400,000 people have fled the city of Goma. And people don't know exactly what is going to happen. And the government is not providing anything in where these people are at the moment. And so it's just a very sad situation right now.
And Fabrice, I'd like to ask you, you know, how are you feeling right now? Is it quite scary? Is it quite like unsettled? I would love to know how you're feeling and, you know, how the people around you are feeling.
En fait, je dirais que c'est un peu plus difficile pour nous parce que, vous savez, nous sommes dans un pays où il y a beaucoup de problèmes. Et quelquefois, ça nous donne un peu des frissons ou de la peur parce qu'on ne sait pas quelles sont les informations exactes. À un certain moment où il y a tout un, je sais pas, des cacophonies où tout le monde est en train de mettre des informations sans pour vérifier. Il y a le ministère de la communication qui met des informations sans pour vérifier. Il y a le gouverneur qui dit ceci. Il y a, je ne sais pas, un ministre qui vient aussi, il parle de ceci. Alors, tout ça, ça nous met dans la peur et dans l'insécurité parce qu'on ne sait pas quelles sont les mesures qui sont prises par rapport à cette histoire. Quelle est l'info vraie? Qu'est-ce que nous devons prendre? À quoi est-ce que nous devons nous Et un peu plus, vu qu'il y a eu on avait demandé l'évacuation de toute personne, mais il n'y a pas eu d'assistance, il n'y a pas eu les gens où, par exemple, certaines personnes, comme notre gouvernement, devaient prendre cette responsabilité d'encadrer les gens. Et on a essayé de voir un jour, ça fait des années passées, des simulations par rapport au volcan, mais malheureusement, ce n'était que des farces parce que rien ne s'est fait. On est là, le volcan est venu, tout ce qu'on avait fait, soi-disant des simulations pour comment évacuer la population. Moi, je pense que c'était presque tout un échec total de la part du gouvernement, pas d'assistance, tout ça. Alors, on attend seulement qu'il y a des gens à l'extérieur qui donnent des aides. Bon, notre pays en soi, il ne fait absolument rien. Donc, c'est un peu plus difficile, ça ne met pas dans la confiance. Et entre autres, il y a toujours les gaz qui menacent. Actuellement, là, il y a déjà le lac est monté de 8 mètres. 8 mètres, ça veut dire que ça commence déjà à atteindre les bords de certaines maisons au lac. Et ça constitue déjà un danger. Vu que d'abord, ce matin, selon les dires, il y a des gens qui commencent à être asphyxiés, quelqu'un qui est mort dans une toilette à cause du gaz. Donc, ça commence à nous mettre dans l'insécurité. Le fait que notre gouvernement ne prend pas les choses au sérieux et ne veut pas vraiment s'impliquer dedans. Je ne sais pas s'il s'implique ou pas, mais franchement, il devait encore faire beaucoup plus parce que ça devient trop dangereux. Oui, les menaces des volcans, peut-être il est passé, mais les gaz aussi, c'est une autre chose. Donc, c'est un peu plus compliqué.
So yeah, it is very, very bad for us. As you know, we are living in a country which is facing a lot of problems at the moment. But when it comes to this situation, our government really didn't the communication that this organization will communicate this, the minister of what will communicate this, the other thing, and a governor will communicate another thing. So we kind of thought that they were actually playing on us, and they were not being really serious. There was nothing that was being done for the population to evacuate, for the evacuation of the population, or even to help the people that have been affected in such a time as this. Now we are here, the volcano has come, and yeah, we basically don't know what to do. We are living in a in fear, not knowing what is going to be communicated next, and the government is not helping anything. We're just waiting for the help to come from outside, and this is really a bad situation. So what we're also fearing right now is the gas in the lake. That the waters in the lake was a rise to 8 liters, and this really is causing some kind of fear for the population around Goma. I can tell you of a situation that has happened in this area where a guy died in a toilet because of the gas. And so when you think about this situation, this really brings a certain fear that is so deep that we don't know what to do or where to go. And yeah, the government also just doesn't care about what is happening.
Wow, this is so intense. Like you actually just both of you are just sharing with us. And Papi, I must say that you're doing a good job in like translating and keeping ahead of everything. You know what? It's so incredible this what you are sharing with us because, you know, we're not hearing a lot of this. You know, the media isn't telling us a lot of this, and maybe just because it isn't at this time, we don't know why. But this is so important for us to reflect on and to begin to think about, you know, what we could be doing, how we could be praying, and also how we can be helping at this time. You know, this is happening on our continent. This is happening on the African continent, right where we are. We know that there are so many problems as well that are in Congo. We know there are so many internally displaced people. There are so many things that's happening there. And so we need to be thinking about, you know, what is happening and how we can really, really help. And that's something that I want to touch on when we get back. We're going to go to a really, really quick music break because I just feel like we need to let this settle in. We need to be thinking about how serious serious the situation is. It's not just like, oh, a volcano went off on the 22nd, a couple, you know, maybe like 2 weeks ago almost, and now it's all settled. It's not settled. There's so much that's happening, and I know that we're going to get deeper into it. So don't go anywhere. Enjoy some music, and then we'll see you when we get back. You're with me, Lauren Jacobs, here on Voice of Change today, and I'm joined by Pappy and Fabrice, and we are actually talking about the situation that's happening in Eastern Congo, in Goma, and we know that the volcano has gone off, but we know that there have consistently been earthquakes, that we see refugees, we see intense situations that we're going to, you know, explore a little bit further. Pappy, we also know that what we have been hearing is that children are not able to find their families, and there's a lot of children that are not with their parents right now. You know, what exactly, I know that you are helping and your team are helping on the ground as well. What exactly is happening and how are you guys bringing help? I know that you've been involved with Kitaka Oyo, which is, you know, your baby, and also Focus Congo. So what is actually happening? How are you guys helping at this time?
Yeah. So when the eruption took place and people started running from different directions, not knowing really where to go because of lack of communication by the government, the Congolese government, a household, you know, if you had children and you know that as in Congo, specifically families with a lot of children, so people ran from this direction and they didn't know where the children went. And maybe some of the parents that couldn't make it, maybe the children ran and coming back into the villages, they didn't find the parents. So many, many children, as we can count now, there was 1,700, if I'm not mistaken, children that so far they have been found. And some of them were taken care by the Red Cross. Fabrice was there by the Red Cross, really experiencing how some of the parents were coming to find their children were still alive. And it was such a joy. If you see the picture, is beautiful, is amazing to see a father finally finding their children. Mm. And many children didn't find their parents up until now. And so us as a Focus Congo and Kitoko Oyo, we've been going up there and collecting these children on the street that haven't found their parents and bringing them to the an orphanage, which we support there in Goma. And as we, right now as we speak, Fabrice in fact just came back from the orphanage where we supplied basic need foods, water, and the stuff that these children need and the orphanage need. So we're under our care. But I think around 40 children that we have collected, and the orphanage itself has got about 80 kids. So we're taking care of all these kids, making sure that they're safe, making sure that they've got food and they've got water. And so, yeah, we also are assisting in different ways. We also, so looking at how we're to provide emergency shelters for those families that are coming back that have been affected in the area of, I forgot the name, Fabrice know the name, Buene is called actually. And we have a team also that is in Sake where the biggest concentration of displaced, internally displaced people are, looking at the situation and seeing the problem. And in fact, the news that I've just gotten is that many people that are coming to this help is not really getting to the rightful people. Mm-hmm. The inhabitants of this area, they're busy claiming this help instead of getting to the displaced people. And so this really made me sad. I've got the images, I've got the pictures of what is happening there. And I just really want to make sure that the help that we're giving to these people are really getting to the right people. And that's why we have the team, we have Fabrice there really looking at everything and making sure that we reach out to the people that we need to reach out to.
This is such incredible work that you are all doing. You're such an incredible team. And Fabrice, I'd love to know from you, you know, how has it been, you know, seeing children that don't have families and also just, you know, trying to get them to a place of safety. How has that been? You know, how are people feeling? How are those children doing? And also, thank you so much for all the work that you're doing. It's so incredible.
Thank you so much. Je dirais que c'était pour nous, c'était un peu plus difficile. Hein. C'était difficile de voir certaines familles se détacher de leur de leurs enfants et d'autres personnes, vu que il y a eu pas d'encadrement de la part de notre gouvernement. Donc c'était juste un débandade parce que tout le monde ne savait pas quoi faire. Il y a ceux qui quittaient ici, d'autres allaient dans d'autres sens. Donc, la population était un peu plus dépassée. Et à ce moment-là, on ne savait pas comment on devait faire. Donc, il y a certaines personnes qui devraient quitter leur maison parce qu'il y avait déjà le volcan qui arrivait juste tout près. Donc, on sortait comme on pouvait, on sauvait des vies et tout le monde partait. Et voilà, c'est dans cette ambiance-là que vous voyez certains des enfants. C'était un peu plus difficile pour eux de revoir leurs parents. Donc, vu qu'il n'y avait pas vraiment un certain encadrement ou quelque chose qu'on avait préparé dès le début, et s'il y avait un volcan quelconque, voilà ce qu'on devait faire. Et voilà, ça n'a pas été fait malheureusement. Donc, voilà, ça nous a tous surpris. Donc, je pense que c'est à notre gouvernement de voir comment ça doit se faire. Et voilà, la Croix-Rouge essaie un peu d'aider certaines familles à retrouver des enfants, bien qu'il y a aussi d'autres organisations locaux ici qui travaillent et qui aident aussi d'à leur côté à leurs parents à trouver des enfants. Et notamment, je vais parler des Goma Actifs aussi. Il y a d'autres personnes de bonne volonté aussi qui aident certains parents où ils détectent les enfants déjà perdus, donc ils photographient. Donc voilà, on photographie les enfants, on amène des photos et on donne aux parents aussi des photos pour qu'ils puissent identifier leurs enfants. Et on est en train d'aider à des gens qui ont un peu perdu leurs enfants, d'être un peu plus rattachés et retrouver les parents. Voilà.
It was really difficult to see the children separate from their parents. Mm-hmm. And this all happened because, you know, some people realized very quickly that the lava was reaching their houses and they had to just run as quick as they could. And so because there was no information that was provided or when this might happen or how should we, which direction should we take in case the volcano eruption happens. So this brought a bit of chaos, people running from a different direction. And this was really, really bad. Now it is for our government to do to rectify their faults and to try and help our people. But there are a lot of organizations that are really working on the ground. We have the Red Cross that is taking the children. And then we have an organization like Goma Active as well, is also doing a great job. And then many people that are using social media, but if you identify a child, you take a picture, and then you take a number and then you put it on a social media and some of the parent can see, okay, if they're on a social media, they can be able to see this is my child, or other people can share this picture. And I've seen pictures being shared thousand times and children being found because of this means and the means of social media. So
Pappy, would you say there's hope? You know, I would love to know as well, what are churches doing things? Are, you know, faith communities helping as well on the ground? And, you know, is there hope? Is there people? I've always found that people in Congo carry so much hope and carry so much like belief and faith. You know, it's absolutely so incredible. Even though people in Congo experience so much, there's always a sense of like there's hope. There's always a sense of belief and a sense of faith. Have you witnessed that? Is that something that's real and that is happening as well?
Yeah, Lauren, besides the desperation right now and what is happening, I believe there is hope. For example, having in the areas that where the people are fleeing, we are fleeing to. We have a lot of churches have opened the door, and people are taking refuge in these churches. In these churches, not only churches, we have also private buildings that are being opened for people to seek shelter in a. This is really not enough. We have people sleeping outside in the area of Sake, people that went to Bukavu as well, like on the port. So besides all what is happening, even the people that are sleeping outside, when you talk to them, they tell you that there is hope. They want to be able to return back to their homes and restore their lives. So and then you also see hope in the time that the international community is not caring so much. Congolese people are gathering together and saying, let's donate towards what is happening. You know, we don't have to wait, we don't have to wait for NGOs, international NGO, to give us help. Now we can try and do it ourselves. Even a $1 of donation, people are donating that don't have so much. They're donating $1 to help the families affected. But as you know, that is not going to be enough. If 400,000 people that are displaced just because of the volcano, and we know that every day in Eastern Congo alone there is 6,000 people that are displaced every day because of conflicts. We have 120 different arms groups operating in these areas. So it's a very, very sticky situation. But besides all of that, the Congolese people are very resilient. They've dealt a bad hand, they've gone through a lot, but they keep on pushing. They keep on saying that, okay, we can do this. And you see that hope in people that are still coming back and saying, we're going to rebuild our Goma. We're going to go back to the place where we love so much. We just really want also the international community, especially our fellow African, to look at us and really see what we have gone through, and give us the support, because this is a is not just the problem of Congo. Or go. This is a problem of humanity, and if you really care for humanity, this is opportunity for whoever is listening to care about the situation that is happening in Goma. Quickly, I will add, and what I've heard is that the problem also is that international communities don't care. The international news outlet don't care so much because, you know, this is a displaced people are not taking their way to the Mediterranean. It's not going to affect them anyway. So people don't care so much about that. But once it's happening within Congo, so yeah, that's what I've got to say. There is hope indeed.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Papi. And I also wanted to know, you know, how can people connect with, you know, what you guys are doing? You know, can they connect with you on Facebook or, I don't know, over an email, website, something? How can people connect with you if maybe someone's listening and saying, you know what, I agree, this is about humanity. This is about the continent of Africa. I have a heart for this. And they just want to reach out and connect with you, Papi. How can people do that?
There are several ways that people can connect with us. So people can go to our website. It's a www.focuscongo.com, focuscongo.com, or you can see us on Instagram at Focus Congo, just as it is. And then we have at Kitoko underscore Oyo. You can see what we're doing, but most of all, of our work on this situation is on our Kitoko, your social media and website. And maybe Fabrice want to give his handles.
Moi je pense à ce moment pareil, donc je pense que nous, comme mon papy l'avait dit, c'est une question de voilà, je pense que tout le monde devait un peu s'impliquer et essayer un peu de faire quelque chose parce qu'il y a déjà l'épidémie de la choléra donc, qui essaie un peu d'attaquer. Donc, c'est déplorable. On déplore aussi les conditions des sinistrés qui sont des gens qui sont partis vers certaines. Ils sont partis de certaines. Endroits, notamment à Sake, où vraiment c'est un peu plus difficile, où les gens sont en train de passer nuit dehors. Il n'y a pas d'eau potable, il n'y a pas assez de toilettes. Donc, tout le monde va faire tout ce qu'il veut de son côté. Et ça, on crée déjà l'épidémie de choléra et quelque chose qu'on ne pouvait pas envisager. Ce n'est pas du tout une bonne chose. Et une autre chose que je dois signaler, c'est que nous sommes un peu plus décis parce que on s'entendait beaucoup plus à ce que le président, même face à un mot pour compatir la population, mais malheureusement, on n'a pas entendu un mot du président. J'ai vu juste une délégation de gouvernement qui est venue ici. Bon, je ne sais pas ce qu'ils ont fait, mais bon, j'ai juste entendu, ils ont parlé, mais je ne sais pas ce qu'ils ont fait. Mais en tout cas, vraiment, je pense que la meilleure des choses, c'est vraiment de voir comment on peut éviter la choléra parce que c'est vraiment quelque chose de très, très mauvais, hein, très mauvais, vraiment, vu les conditions de. Les voilà, c'est un peu
So,
plus.
yeah. So, as right now as we speak, there is a lot of people in the area of Sake where there's no clean water, there is no toilet, people are sleeping in a very bad condition. And I said before, this is a question of humanity. We have all to care about what is happening there, and not forgetting also there's still also COVID happening. So. And what is really what is very bad is that we were waiting for the president to give a speech about this situation, but the president hasn't said anything, and it's been up to a week, and it's really, really sad to see that the president of a country is not is just keeping quiet. Well, he sent a delegation to Goma, and yeah, we didn't see the job there. They just came there, and that's it. And so I would like to call upon everyone who's listening to really look into this situation, know that we are all together as a humanity.
Amen to that. And Papi, I want to say thank you so much for being here today. Fabrice, thank you so much. Merci. I hope I pronounced it correctly. But thank you so much. Thank you so much to both of you for everything that you were doing, but also for shining light on exactly what is happening. And our hearts and our prayers today are going to be with you and with the people of Congo, with the people of Goma, with the people that are really, really in the middle of this situation. And that's a challenge I want to give to the listeners as well, that this is about us also praying. You know, it's a powerful tool that we have, and we need to use that as well and connect with Papi, connect with Fabrice over, you know, social media. I will give those handles out at the end of the show. But again, Papi, thank you. Fabrice, thank you so much. And may God richly bless everything that you both are
Thank you
doing
for
and keep
having
you safe.
us. Thank you for having us, Lauren. Thank you. God bless.
Okay, so at the beginning of the show, I said that I really felt like my heart was stirred. And even before we got into this conversation today, you know, my heart was just stirred to have a moment of prayer. And now, after having spoken to Fabrice and Papi and hearing what is happening, but yet hearing that there is hope, yet hearing that people are doing things on the front lines and on the ground, I think that it's appropriate that we end our Voice of Change today with a prayer for the people in Congo, prayer for the people on our continent, prayer because, just like they kept on saying, this is a humanity reality. And we need to lift this up to God. So let us just pray together. Pray with me now. Father, we just thank you so, so much that we can come to you with all of these things. And Father, sometimes we say, oh, well, all we can do is pray. But no, Father, it's not all that we can do. It is the most powerful thing that we can do. And today we want to lift up the situation that is happening in Congo to you. And Father, we want to pray that you will comfort the people in Congo, that you will provide help and food and water and care and comfort and every single thing that is needed in that situation today. We want to ask, Father, that you'll protect the lives of those who are helping through organizations, through the Red Cross, through churches, Father, through just people who are just feeling that they need to help. Protect their lives. And Father, we pray that you will be with the people. We pray for such a huge turnaround in this situation. We pray that you will do miracles, that people will experience miracles at this time, and give people in Congo peace that shalom that you speak about in your word. And Father, we know that your hand is powerful. And we ask that it will move into the situation. And we pray, Father, that there will be a huge turnaround in Congo for the good, Father. And we pray because we don't want people to be more displaced. We don't want people to be living in situations that are tough. Father, we ask for an intervention. All we can do is lift the situation up to you. We pray for your power and your peace to reign supreme and to go forth in this situation. We praise you, we thank you, we pray this in the mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's been so good to be with you today. It is so good to be talking about topics that are happening right now and that we need to know about. Don't forget, continue to pray for this situation. Join with us as we pray. And don't forget, go on over and connect, you know, Focus Congo on social media or focuscongo.com, or go on over to Kitoko and then there's that _Oyo to see the photos that have been shared by the team and that are coming out every day. The photos alone are powerful. The videos alone will just take you right into what is happening at this time. So you know what, it's been fantastic to be here. Next week on the show, I have a wonderful show. We're going to be talking about trauma and the impact of trauma, and how do we deal with traumatic situations? How do we deal with the trauma of the last year? What powerful tools can we implement? I'm going to be joined by the Trauma Institute, and they're doing such fantastic work across Africa and actually the globe, so you don't want to miss it. See you next week.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.